Blog Talk Radio.
The fallen leaves drift by my window. The autumn leaves of red and gold.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Twisted Tuesdays with the Twisted Sisters. And we never know, maybe a Twisted Mister or two. Hope everyone's doing well this week. Got an autumn show tonight, even though we're probably a little late with autumn, but I think Thanksgiving week kind of set it up. So, hello, Pam, and hello, Naomi. How are you ladies tonight?
Hello.
So far, so good.
Hello, hello.
Very good, very good. It's always good to know. Very good to know. You know, autumn songs are a little tough. Let me just tell you. They were a little tough.
Oh,
to
I can imagine.
But,
yeah.
The sound autumn. This song that I put up tonight was done by about 47 other people. And I said, you know what? Eric Clapton wins just because he's Eric Clapton. And that's how I made the choice.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That would have been my choice. If I had a choice between Eric Clapton and 46 other musicians, I would choose Eric Clapton. So, awesome choice there.
It actually sounded pretty good. You know, some of the other ones were a little bit dated. But it was really cool. So I was like, okay, I can do that. I can do that. I didn't want to do Harvest Moon. I figured you all think I was really off my rocker. Because it's quite not quite, you know, the idea. But it was good. Anyway, it looks like we have a board full of really good poetry.
Yeah, indeed.
You know, you put out autumn prompts, and people just fall into that mood because I think the beauty of the season actually is kind of intoxicating in a way. You know, everybody kind of looks and goes, "Oh wow!" You know, wow.
It really is.
Yeah, it's either the visuals of autumn, or you know, the thoughts of how.
Well, and metaphorically, it's a beautiful,
right,
it's a wonderful season to write about.
Yeah, so, exactly. And metaphorically, it makes a whole world of difference. That is absolutely correct. And I think, you know, yeah, because autumn, you know, you have different things. Ends, things coming to an end, things changing, you know, life, you know, the later years of your life, the end of a relationship. And, you know, a lot of the songs, that's all they had to do with. So I was like, whatever. But there's so many different angles on autumn, and I think that's why people get so inspired. I know we're not the only person that put up an autumn contest this year, and I'm sure they all had wonderful, wonderful work. So it's always a pleasure to have a show about it. So anyway, now I'm going to stop running my mouth, and I'm going to try and figure out where we're going to start. I guess I'll start with the top. And the first one on the board is Eric Svensson. And I have an audio for that. So that's a good place to start, I think. Eric, thanks for having me.
Absolutely.
I'm on a roll tonight. Don't mind me. Here we go. Oh, my God. Here goes. Oh, sorry, Pam.
Memory me. Caboose cuddle season. Always sidetracks reason. Autumn leaves me with Eva Cassidy. Hand in hand, we walk through fields of gold serenity. Russet reds dribble cranberry juice nostalgia. Memory bursts with precious fields of gold paraphernalia. Ebony and ivory, piano keys, amber, caboose cuddle season ends clamor. Gift-bearing trees tile forest floors with promises not made lightly. Canary yellow leaves cartwheel on forest floors so sprightly. Open-hearted embrace of gambuge, gerund quickens the soul. Oh, death, where's thy victory in these autumn fields I behold? Hands on hearts, autumn caboose cuddles us beneath our wisteria arbor. Florid foliage doesn't fuss. Our love nest thins out to allow more fields of gold. Owl feathers drift down to intermingle with pine cones as foretold. Soon nights in white satin snuggle beneath mohair blanket slides. Hot cocoa tandem sipped as we take our last hot air balloon ride. Love's autumnal caboose season, curds, cuddles, passion's postiche, compact summer's muddles. Sunny imposter paint layers become diluted twerps. Watercolors come naturally, yeah, we learn pheasant chirps. Blue crane said, wedges the ochre sky with falling leaf feathers. Our hearts expand like heather-soaked saddle leathers. In the highlands, moose caboose step aside. Majestic antler antennae scan misty grainy hide. Beside trout stream gurgle, we twilled heather haired boon. Dervish will a twill, you serenaded me with fly me to the moon. When we watched sweet November, you cried with Keanu Reeves. Diamonds on the soles of her feet, multifaceted Charlize Theron's talent cleaves. Memory meads, caboose encased in autumn, vine entwined, ruddy russet cuddles postmortems. Your ethereal voice drums while we listen to Puccini's humming chorus. Soon winter's tases will chrysalis encase us. After years of eagle feathered togetherness, we don't fuss. Carmine and carnelian, sugar maples, your auburn hair whisper. Orange rust, amber golds my forehead, on your chest lazy lisps. End poem.
Wow, that was awesome. Thank you so much, Eric. Mammy, you want to start us off on this one?
Oh, yeah. Wow, eh? Just amazing. All the colors he put in, but also all the references to the music that, yeah, somehow that makes us think of you know, of autumn, you know, like nights in white satin, you know, the winter coming on, sweet November, of course, fly me to the moon. And, you know, there's other ones too in here, but, you know, just, just such amazing, like from everything, from his alliteration to his vocabulary to all the beautiful imagery he put in here. Just an amazing, amazing write here by Eric Svensson.
Absolutely. And Pam, how about you?
Yeah, I thought this was beautiful. It had amazing imagery and metaphors. It was a wonderful write that to me spoke on the theme of traveling through autumn and resting in the arms of autumn. And I really like the nostalgic feel of it. You know, and I really like our love nest thins out to allow more fields of gold. Owl feathers drift down to intermingle with pine cones as foretold. And what was that other part? Memory needs caboose encased in autumn, vine entwined, ruddy russets, cuddles, postmortems. Your ethereal voice drums while we listen to Puccini's humming chorus. Just a beautiful nostalgic lines that have a certain romanticism to them. Beautifully written and very well done.
Nice comment, Pam. You know, I just... there's so much going on in this poem between the use of color and the imagery and the thoughts and the different touch on, you know, movies, and all the references were wonderful. I thought it was really incredible. I said it was, you know, this was a wonderful walk through autumn and the wonder of your words, because his words just hit on so much and really did walk you right through the season. And in a way that not everybody else will do. That's definitely Eric. You know, he just has that way with his writing. So thank you so much, Eric, for sharing with us. I think that was a beautiful poem. And appreciate you entering the contest and letting us use it on the show. Excellent job. Now, I want to read the next poem because it's just my size. Just saying. Okay. This is called Autumn Smile by Robert Pulleski. And the prompt for this was an image with a quote that said, "Autumn, the year's last loveliest smile." And it says, "Be thankful for October, the charm seen in its face, when Indian summer's bounty plenteously shows its grace. October's charming final brings year's last loveliest smile. Pick lush autumnal fruit right from the orchard's aisle." And he also added a quote there from L.M. Montgomery from Anne and Green Gables. And says, "I'm so glad I live in a world where there are Octobers." So, nicely done, Robert. Pam, you want to start us off on this one?
Absolutely. This was a lovely brevity. You know, Anne of Green Gables is one of my favorite all-time books. And, you know, I just love that he put both of those quotes up. You know, it was just so wonderfully written with the chosen rhyme pattern, which was consistent in both stanzas, nicely metered. And, you know, I really like how this spoke on the bounty and the blessings of October. I really like the part where it says, "Be thankful for October, the charm seen in its face." Just a wonderful, within those two lines alone, those beginning lines, there's just wonderful personification of the month of autumn. So beautifully, or month of October, sorry, which basically is the month of autumn here. So excellent writing. Very well done.
Oh, my gosh. And Naomi, how about you?
Oh, yeah, this is superb, superb brevity here. You know, October's charming final brings year's last loveliest smile. You know, that sunset there, or, you know, that sunrise, whatever it is, whichever one it is, you know, one of those last, like those last smiles of the year, you know, before winter comes in and the sunsets and the sunrises are kind of less spectacular there. At least here they are, but in the wintertime. But, you know, just an amazing, amazing write here by Robert Pulleski. And, you know, so, so well done, this brevity is.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, I thought this was a lovely brevity myself. A wonderful take on the prompt. And great rhyme and meter as well. So well done, Robert, and thank you so much for sharing with us. Loved it. Two poems. Okay. Naomi, I'm going to get you to read the next one. Pam, I'll come up to you, and then we'll loop around again. I know. I didn't need to say that. Can't help it. I'm yammering tonight. Okay. Here we go, Naomi. Whenever you're ready.
Yep. New Avenues by Rain 474. Riding the chariot of fire, illuminating every of my desire, I choose not to retire, wrapping myself in the tangerine attire. Stretching my arms over the windowsill, I put myself on the road to heal, replacing the very old reel that forgot to capture my true feel. And walking down this alley, sailing across the colorful valley, recalling all the glorious moments witnessed by every shade of color. The autumnal leaves wear as they walk through the corridor, wrapping up their life cycle full, opening new avenues for tender ones. End poem.
Nice reading for me. Kim, I want to come to you.
All right, yes, beautiful. It has wonderful imagery and metaphors. Yeah, I thought it was an excellent write with the main theme that spoke to me being on finding those new paths to follow in the autumn of life, finding ways to heal ourselves, not only to do this kind of spiritual healing. I really like that this stretching my arms over the windowsill, I put myself on the road to heal, replacing the very old reel that forgot to capture my true feel. The idea of realizing you haven't been true to yourself and it's time to change things. So excellent write and very well done.
Nice comment, Pam. Yeah, I thought there was great imagery throughout this piece and wonderful thoughts that were well conveyed through as well. Throughout as well. Maybe I'll say it in English. So better English anyway. I really did like this. It wasn't a very long poem. I don't know if I could get away with calling it a brevity, though, with four stanzas. But listen, walking down this alley, sailing across the colorful valley, recalling all the glorious moments witnessed by every shade of color. And that's so true of the autumn scenes. I know here in Pennsylvania, see, I don't know what you all see of the autumn views, because, it's, you know, we all know it's about the deciduous trees, and some states only have evergreen-type trees. But, you know, you can drive up the one part of the turnpike here, and on either side of you and all everything ahead of you, that's all you see are all the autumn colors, and that's just, to me, you know, just a great, it's just beautiful. So that's what that made me think of, and that's where that took me. So beautiful job, Rain, and thank you so much for sharing with us all. And Naomi, how about you?
Oh, yes, there's, you know, amazing imagery in this. And, you know, I just love how he starts out the poem, riding the chariot of fire, you know, the chariot of fire. It's as if, you know, that describes autumn right there. Everything becomes, you know, like on fire and like right on color, you know, in color, you know, illuminating every of my desire. I choose not to retire, wrapping myself in the tangerine attire. I love that tangerine attire. It's so, such a beautiful use of color. And, there's not time to go to sleep here. Time to venture on down the path of all these lovely colors and this lovely time and explore, you know, and delight yourselves in all that you can find in every side and every walk through and every cycle of your life. So bravo on this right, you know, you both attacked it, I think from the imagery part and also metaphorically, so wonderfully, so amazing right here by Rain 474.
Great comment, Naomi. Okay, Pam, that's going to bring me to you, and I'm going to give you this piece. I'm crossing my fingers that I'm doing the right thing. This one's by Randy G. It's called Autumn.
Okie dokie. All right, Autumn by Randy G. Autumn tells summer it's time to retire, so we put away our summertime attire, preparing for this annual turn of events, whatever Mother Nature has to present. there will obviously be the usual change, cool air, falling leaves, nothing strange. Then there is all its spectacular foliage as autumn boldly steps onto the stage. It somehow manages to create a thrill. We put up our collars against the chill and revel in this beauty of the season. It is captivating and beyond all reason. The trees in full color as if set ablaze, reminding us of the coming holidays, Thanksgiving, Christmas now in sight, all the decorations and blinking lights. Autumn's the harbinger of transition, darkness and color a weird coalition. It celebrates addition by subtraction, hopefully leading to our satisfaction. End poem.
Nice. Great read, Pam. Great read. And Naomi, you want to start us off?
Yeah, amazing, amazing read there, Pam. And you know what an amazing write this is. It somehow manages to create a thrill. We pull up our collars against the chill and revel in this beauty of the season. It is captivating and beyond all reason. And, the way it's so true, you know, that it reminds us of the coming season. It puts us in the mood there. You know, you guys celebrate Thanksgiving is pretty big for you guys, but here in French Quebec, we don't really celebrate Thanksgiving, but Christmas, yes. So we start thinking of Christmas, like he says in the poem, you know, with all the decoration, the blinking lights, and it is really, you know, the harbinger of transition, like he says, between darkness and color. And it celebrates addition by subtraction because, you know, there's so many things that get subtracted but added on at the same time in this time of year, you know. Less light maybe, you know, gets darker faster. But in addition, we have all these wonderful colors. Leading to our satisfaction. Yeah, so he really pulls out, you know, all the benefits and all the beauty and, the upsides of having an autumn. So very well done indeed, Randy G.
Mm-hmm. I have to agree. Pam, you want to give us your thoughts?
Oh, yeah, this is a beautiful poem. It has wonderful imagery and rhyme. I like how it speaks on, and Naomi touched on this, on the duality of autumn, how there's the light and the dark. There's the taking away and the giving. I really like how it speaks on the idea of the blessings of the transitions of that season. I really like it. Somehow manages to create a thrill. We pull up our collars against the chill and revel in this beauty of the season. It is captivating and beyond all reason. And I like those lines because they really speak to me on how there's two different autumns. You know, there's the beautiful autumn, which is that couple weeks. You know, that you have the colorful burst of leaves and they're gently falling and the weather's nice. And then after all the leaves have fallen before winter, it's that ugly, ugly autumn. But that beautiful time really is captivating. And it puts your spirit in such a sense of awe. So this is just a wonderful write and very well done.
Pam, I don't know what the heck you're talking about. Once that beautiful picture is gone, I just call it winter. Autumn is no more color.
I don't call it winter. I don't call it winter until there's snow on the ground, and there is that time here. I guess we all have our reasons.
No, no, but I know what you're saying. It's very true. You know, I thought this was a beautifully written piece by Randy. Great imagery, you know, from the great imagery to the transitional aspects of the rite itself. I thought they were wonderfully expressed. I had to take those last two stanzas into consideration because they really were the meat of the whole subject in my mind. You know, the trees in full color as if set ablaze, reminding us of the coming holiday, the coming holidays. Chris can't read. Sorry. Thanksgiving, Christmas, now in sight, all the decorations and blinking lights. Autumn's the harbinger of transition, darkness and color and weird coalition. It celebrates addition by subtraction, hopefully leading to our satisfaction. Just, I think this last two stanzas kind of summed it up in my mind. So wonderful job, Randy, and thank you so much for sharing with us. Excellent work. And, yeah, it's good to have you on the show. Woohoo! You know, I keep looking at the damn phones like I'm running on PM. I'm sorry. I don't mean to be that way. Oh, my God. Next time I have an audio, though, I'm going to try and remember that I'm not doing audio. Such a habit. Such a creature of habit I am. Now, the next piece I'm going to put up is by Damn It Dave. Damn It Dave! And it's called Autumn Striptease. So, let me bring that up so I can read it. Okay, Autumn Striptease by Damn It Dave. Sensual trees perform a striptease, seductively dropping their harlequin pasties to the stages they sway to alluringly to the melody of a breeze. Dancing there, bare in the crisp autumn air, they still sing a dirge of winter, but only at the urging of the whispering, wayward wind. End poem. Pam, you want to start us off?
Oh, absolutely. I thought this was wonderful personification of autumn. I really enjoy and appreciate how he brought in the sensuality into the personification. The wonderful brevity. I like how he makes the falling of the leaves into a striptease show. My favorite imagery is in the second stanza, seductively dropping their harlequin pasties to the stage as they sway so alluringly to the melodies of the breeze. I had never even thought of making, it's such to me a clever idea and so tastefully done throughout, you know, that I had never, and it was one of those poems where I read it and I thought, I had never thought of this idea before, of correlating, you know, the falling of the leaves, the bearing of the trees to a dance, a striptease for the senses. So I thought it was very creative and beautifully done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have to agree with you there. I think this was a great piece. I thought it was very nicely expressed. Naomi, how about you, hon?
Oh, yeah, this is very witty indeed, you know, very clever. I just love, you know, the dancing, and then they sing a dirge of winter, but only at the urging of the whispering wayward wind. You know, what a way to finish it. So bravo, Damn It Dave. So well done.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think that Dave did an excellent job with this. I think the it was a well-written piece, and the imagery was nicely penned, and I think he did a lovely job with it. It was, you know, great brevity, not real long, you know, but it definitely was nicely done. And another one of Dave's non-rhyming poems that just, well, I mean, yeah, not strictly rhyming, and I think that's always intriguing to see from him. Well done, and thank you, Dave, for sharing with us all. Okay. Hey, Pam. Pam. The next one's got an audio.
Okie dokie, smokey.
This is called The Heart of Autumn by Selena.
All right. Let me go ahead, and here we go.
foliaged forest floats a ghostly mist, with which fiery flames of autumn are gently kissed. Her vibrant heart even darkness cannot quell, as the lunar lady casts her scintillating spell, her silvery sheen shimmering on amber russet hues, illumining the forest as nature's beauty woos. A pungent path of dew-dampened leaves, canopied neath the halo of burnished trees, calls alluringly to enter its calm, mellow glow, warming the heart with its splendorous show. Whispering leaves dancing upon bountiful boughs, as the susurrus wind sighs and soughs, rustling restlessly on branches soon to be bare, when old man Winter rests his weary head there.
Lovely. Okay, beautiful job, Stelina, as always. And Naomi, I'm going to start off with you.
Yeah, I just loved how, you know, Stelina played with this. You know, she made autumn into this beautiful loon lady here, you know, with her spell. And, you know, the lovely colors and, you know, and then she brings in old man Winter. He comes in with his weary head there at the end. And, you know, so I just love, you know, how she personified the two seasons there. And, you know, all, of course, all her lovely, lovely imagery throughout and alliteration also. You know, and lovely rhythm and rhyme here all throughout, too. So just a wonderful, wonderful read by Stelina. So an awesome, awesome poem. So well read and so so well written.
Nice. And Pam, how about you?
This is stunning. It's captivating with its word choice, beautiful imagery, wonderful alliteration. You know, with just very intelligent paint strokes of words, she captures autumn. I really like that she not only involves the color of the leaves, but she brings in the moonlight. As the lunar lady casts her scintillating spell, a silvery sheen shimmering on amber russet's hue, illuminating the forest as nature's beauty woos. I like that she put those two elements together to make autumn even more beautiful. So excellent write and very well done.
Absolutely. You know, I thought this was just gorgeous. And I'm with Naomi, you know, it's just something about the way that she turned autumn into a beautiful entity, a person, you know, persona. You know, I have to say, when she started out, in the fern-foliaged forest floats a ghostly mist, with which fiery flames of autumn are gently kissed. Her vibrant heart, even darkness cannot quell, as the lunar lady casts her scintillating spell. What a wonderful intro to that. And, you know, in my book, Stelina is known so well for her alliteration, and she doesn't let us down in this either. But she doesn't, she uses a lot of it, but it's not overkill. I think it's because of the way that she uses it. It makes it so pleasant to the ear, to the tongue when you read it. So it's just an excellent, excellent write, Stelina, and thank you so much for sharing with us, that's for sure. Wonderful job. Okay. Yeah, I have to figure out what I'm doing. because they don't know. Only kidding. Only kidding. Only part of me doesn't know. And I think, does it bring me to you, Pam? I think it brings me to you. And if it doesn't, well.
Yes, it does. It brings you to me. Maybe? I don't know. I read Randy G.
Oh, well, in that case, let me look. You read Randy, I read Dan and Dave. I replaced Felina. Guess what? It is Naomi's turn. Naomi! I'm putting up a piece.
Sure. Okay. Yes, sharp. S sharp. Nature's stage. Grandpa retired early. He said to spend time with us, to tell us stories by the winding river where he built what he called nature's stage. Grandma said, you can't build your own little dock out in the middle of nowhere on God's land. Grandpa replied, it ain't a dock, it's the stage where nature performs, and every time I go there, God is there too, and we sit together. We carried on along the rocky path, up the steep climb, the rugged terrain, through the columbine and the rhododendron, blowing in the brisk mountain breeze. Path narrowed and twisted through two granite cliffs until soon we crested the hill and saw it, the river, quietly meandering by Grandpa's stage. I breathed in the air Grandpa talked about. Notice how the water pretended to be God's country, reflecting the golden leaves, the yellow hues of autumn, just like Grandpa always said it did. We approached the stage as I remembered the chairs Grandpa built from the same red wood, two chairs in the middle of nowhere, just where Grandpa left. As we reached the stage, we stepped onto it, and it bobbed a little, coming alive in the river. I stepped towards the chair on the right, knowing that the chair was off limits, settling into the one on the left. It felt strange to sit where Grandpa always sat. My grandson, just six, his blonde locks blowing in the breeze, approached the other chair. Whoa, whoa, I said, with my hands out towards him. That's God's chair. I pointed to the edge of the stage by the river. You can sit right there, I explained. Take your shoes off and put your feet in the water if you want. I'll tell you about the time my grandpa and I swam down this river right by here, running from a big black bear. That afternoon was filled with mountains of memories, plot twists that fell like golden leaves all about us. As autumn climaxed around the river bend where Grandpa and I lost that old black bear, I think God even enjoyed changing the seasons. End poem.
Wow. Great read, Naomi. Great read. Pam, you want to kick us off?
Yeah, this is absolutely beautiful. I love the nostalgic feel. I enjoy and appreciate the spirituality within it and the imagery. I really like how he put so much thought into this story and the idea of a love of nature and family tradition that is passed on from generation to generation. I really like, I breathed in the air Grandpa talked about, noticed how the water pretended to be God's country, reflecting the golden leaves, the yellow hues of autumn, just like Grandpa always said it did. Just beautifully written and very well done.
Absolutely. You know, maybe it's me, but I thought that this whole story and the way he told it felt like autumn. Something about it just encompassed all that that feeling that you get in other images and what have you. I don't know. Maybe I'm just crazy. But I think I felt something there that was just really neat. Naomi, what did you have to say about it?
Yeah, well, you know, reading this, I became almost emotional there. You know, it was a very heartfelt write for me, I found. You know, very nostalgic. But there's just something about it bringing back his grandson, you know, to the place where his grandpa, where his, you know, his grandpa sat and, you know, made this dock here, you know, this nature stage, he calls it, and these chairs, you know, that are so important. And, you know, it's like passing on from one generation to the next, a little pieces, you know, of a person, you know, so, and a little piece of their family history. So, yeah, I found this was amazing, amazing tale told here. I just loved the whole piece. Bravo, Scott.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I totally agree. I agree with everything you said, everything Pam said. It's just a wonderful piece all the way through. You know, he talks about his grandfather, he talks about his grandson. You know, he fits all those generations together in this piece, and it is heartwarming. And I don't know, maybe it doesn't feel like bottom. Maybe it just feels like family. You know, it just has that warm, I don't know, it just gives you a warm, fuzzy feeling of some sort. I don't get it, but I can't put my finger on it. So I'll talk about it another time.
Warm and fuzzy.
It's just wonderful. You know, when something just oozes feeling, or that the senses, it just sparks them all up. I mean, I just think you did a wonderful job. Great job, Scott. Thank you for sharing. I have to set it now before the girls throw a net around me or over me or at me. Okay. So, let me see. So that was Naomi. So that brings me to Pam. Pam.
Yes.
I'm going to get you to read the next one. And
all right.
This is by Betty Page, and it's called Autumn Wonderland. Mm-hmm.
All right. Autumn Wonderland by Betty Page. Crisp, luminous days, mesmerizing vivid hues, fiery crimsons, melancholy blues, melodic, delicate jazz, romantic love songs, French vanilla cream, toffee-drizzled warmed brownies, sweet cherry cupcakes, twirling maple leaves, spinning high, gliding round clouds, dancing with children, grandma's homemade pies, swirling scents from her windows, animals intrigued. Raccoons, deer, rabbits, chirping wild birds, every kind, hedgehogs, squirrels. Dream of just a bite, bears, mountain lions prowl, looms, stealth, dark tunnels. Ancient sacred trees hide wise golden bronze owls descending on prey. Magical gardens bloom every kind of flower, every kind of tree. Black cherry, plum, peach, mixed berries, pomegranate, assorted fruit pies. Autumn's wonderland, old-fashioned carnival games, wild rides, such good times. Cascading tall trees, soft, snowy, high mountain tops, romantic midnights. Kissing in flannels, cozy up at home by fire, toasting marshmallows as well as champagne, rose petals strewn across silk, merry-go-round rides, distant music plays as we stargaze for hours neath strawberry moon and poem.
Nice read, Pam. Nice read. And Naomi, I'm going to let you go first.
Oh, yeah, beautiful, beautiful read there, Pam. And, you know, this is, you know, in every little stanza here, she captures a little piece of autumn. You know, it makes it into such a magical time. This is just such an enchanting poem. You know, I as you, Pam was reading there, you know, I was just, you know, the French vanilla cream, the brownies, you know, the twirling maple leaves. And I was just picking out, you know, the deers, the raccoons, you know, I was just picking out all the things, you know, that come alive at autumn. And, you know, just wonderful all the way down. And, you know, the way she finishes it off, you know, distant music plays as we stare gaze for hours neath strawberry moon. That's such a beautiful finale to this wonderful, wonderful poem. So bravo, bravo, Betty Page.
Absolutely. I have to agree with that. And Pam, how about you, hon?
Yeah, this is beautiful imagery. It's magical throughout. Like Naomi was pointing out, she brings autumn to life with the mention of the animals, and she brings us the tastes of autumn, the nostalgia of autumn with the different fruits and the pies. And then she ends with some wonderful touches of romance, kissing in flannels, cozy up at home by fire, toasting marshmallows. Just beautifully written lines and very well done.
Absolutely. I agree with both of you completely. You know, I thought it was a nice piece. You know, it started out, you know, first it starts out talking about, you know, fiery crimsons of color and you know, melancholy blues. And then you got some jazz thrown in there and romantic love songs. And then she leads into all these, you know, yummy goodies, you know. It's like, okay. Then she gets down into the maple leaves and the dancing children, homemade pies, and then the animals. Like, she just encompassed a lot in this. And I think that she did it well. And I'm with you too, Pam. Like, all of a sudden you get this cascading tall trees and soft, snowy, high mountaintops, romantic midnight. And then you get into that little bit of romance that Betty has in all of her poems. And I think that she really nailed it and made it a lovely, lovely piece celebrating autumn, you know. And there she said flannel, and automatically my mind said gray flannel, because that's an old cologne that the fellas used to wear. You know, they don't so much anymore, but that's okay. Just that's where it took me, and I was like, oh, okay. But well done, Betty. Thank you so much. As always. We can get my chatty self back over and grab another poem. Okay. The next one I have is by Time Teller. So let me put that up. And Smiling Assassins by Time Teller. And see if I can make them big enough to read it without like taking it all the way off the screen. Okay, here we go. We all view the world through our personal windows, and it seems nature tries so hard to smother us in an avalanche of abundance, foliage and speed. Our windows become opaque and shaded. Light diminishes under a weight of plenty until autumn smiles or grimaces with gritted teeth. Its unsentimental, murderous intentions are betrayed by the scream of colors. Who would think death to be so colorful and vibrant, an ultimate spin that has our innocence looking on and seeing beauty with celebration? The leaf falls in regal majesty, a dignity we would all be proud of in death. Light floods through those windows, illuminating cobwebs and a hollow need of warmth that never fulfills those that seek to see further down their gardens. Funny, I never saw you as a smiling assassin. hiding behind a celebration of life and the universe. Mother Nature has many faces, and the more I suckle at her teat, the smaller I am. The wood lice that feed upon the millions of victims occupy more mass than me. Earthworms that aerate the flooding autumnal downpours are more useful. There are many days in autumn when the windows are smeared and fogged, fields covered with witch's brew, and dampness of wet grass mingles with the sand, and army's footsteps dripping from swollen wood. Autumn is a beautiful assassin. End the poem. That's intriguing. I like it. Naomi, you want to go first?
Yeah, I love the take he took on it, the spin he put on it, seeing autumn as a beautiful assassin, and in a way, autumn is because it brings it becomes before winter, so. It announces the dying of the leaves and the plants and whatever. I don't know if they really die or they just go to sleep, some of them. But, it kills the light. Like in one of the poems we saw before there, it is a bringer of so much darkness, but at the same time it's full of color, and so the juxtaposition between the two of them is really brought out here, and I love the way he just attacked the subject. I thought it was witty and clever and so well done here by Time Teller, so bravo.
Right, absolutely. And Pam, how about you?
Yeah, I have to agree a lot with Naomi. It's just a wonderfully creative take on the subject of autumn and the chosen prompts. The idea of the juxtaposition of how autumn represents death, but does it in such a beautiful way. I really like Until Autumn Smiles or Grimace with the Gritted Teeth, its unsentimental murderous intention are betrayed by the scream of colors. Who would think death to be so colorful and vibrant, an ultimate spin that has our innocence looking on and seeing beauty with celebration? Wonderful, thoughtful lines, beautifully written and very well done.
Absolutely. I have to agree. I thought, again, I don't disagree with either one of you. I thought it was a wonderful take on the prompts. Unique and well-penned. Great thoughts of autumn. They weren't thoughts that I guess I would have ever put together, but I get it. I totally get it. It makes perfect sense. But I took, its unsentimental murderous intentions are betrayed by the scream of colors. Who would think death to be so colorful and vibrant? An ultimate spin that has our innocence looking on and seeing beauty with celebration. The leaf falls in regal majesty, a dignity we would all be proud of in death. I just really did a great job and really nicely done. So, excellent job, Time Teller, and thanks for sharing with us. Great job for the show tonight. Great addition. Okay, so now. That brings me to Naomi. I said, if I'm wrong, don't tell me. Because I thought I had it, so humor me. Okay, Naomi, the next one is up for you by Freya. Naomi.
Are you on mute, Naomi?
Yeah. I was reading along. Okay. On the mixture of death and life, we see the brilliance of autumnal light and beauty, but rolling in the tannins of must, smelling the transition of the individual while the architect of color has added a new ring hardened off for the winter reset in the life between lifetimes. There is beauty in the blending of life and sleep, even sexiness, caresses the mind in nether regions of thought. The great forces mix a palette where neurons become gamuts and the fluids of attraction trigger memories of unity. When we surround it, each other in the album, in the leather sphere of Mama's shell, the moon pulls us from our ancient beauty, bonding us to our species and the literal sand. Does anyone see that? I have raked long time in leaves, stroking your hair, extensions of your beautiful thoughts. You teach me to see as I gift patience with the blind. Amidst the piles of moist pink-purple shells, we rise so slowly. Reality itself is changed as a new generation of leaf writers. We spill open the pleasure center of evenings as we spoon in the warming compost, becoming both hard and wet. I wrap you in my arms as I wrap you in my leaf. End poem.
Great read, Naomi. Great read. And Pam, how about you?
This is a beautiful and thoughtful write. Another one that speaks well on the balance, the juxtaposition. But I think this one has more of a balance feel, like the balance of life and death that comes with autumn. I also like how it has a delicate sensuality to it, a sense of loving and reverence that can be for both the person and the season itself. I really like there is a beauty in the blending of life and sleep when even sexiness caresses the mind in nether regions of thought. The great force mix a palette where neurons become gametes and the fluids of attraction trigger memories of unity when we surround each other in albumen and the leather sphere of Mama's shell. You know, just taking us back to the beginning of time. It just very thoughtful in its metaphors, beautifully written and very well done.
Absolutely, absolutely. I really thought that this was a wonderful piece. Naomi, you want to go ahead and give us your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm all with Pam there. You know, beautiful thought out right. She put some work into this. You know what? Well, I think Freya does all her pieces, but I mean, you know, this is very well thought out. And I was struck with the beautiful, subtle sensuality that flowed through the piece too. And, you know, the wonderful, wonderful take on the subject of autumn here is so, so well composed throughout. Better, beautiful metaphors. And, another right that makes you think on autumn and dwell on the subject. And so very, very well written indeed.
Absolutely. You know, I'm with you ladies again, you know, you can't argue right? I thought it was a great take on autumn. Wonderful sensuality in the piece all the way through. In fact, it intensified as near the end of the piece, and I thought that was kind of intriguing as you did that. But, you know, I pulled on, there is beauty in the blending of life and sleep and sex, even sexiness, caresses the mind in nether regions of thought. The great forces mix a palette when neurons become gametes, and the fluids of attraction trigger memories of unity. I just thought it was really an excellent piece. It was very well expressed throughout, and, you know, Freya did an excellent job, so good for her. You know, awesome stuff, definitely. So thank you, Freya, for sharing with us. Wonderful. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Okay, so let me...
Hey, Bill?
Yes, ma'am.
I would like to let you know that Gray has joined us. Welcome, Gray. Glad you could join us.
Well, hello, Gray.
Hi, Bill. Hi, Naomi.
Good to have you.
Hi, Gray.
You feeling better?
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
Good. I'm glad to hear that. I am glad to hear that. I have to, like, think for a second. Okay, Naomi read that one. No, yes.
Yeah.
Naomi read that one. Okay. I'll tell you what. Jeez Louise, I can't keep this straight. So great, that makes you next. Are you surprised? Oh, my gosh.
I'm glad you're having fun.
Honest to gosh. Hey, Jeremy, welcome to the party. I see you you're out there in the lobby somewhere. I see people saying hello. I've yet to see him, but I believe you all. There he is. And Gray, it's great to have you here, and I'm going to put this piece up by Swan Song called Parachute Seeds. So whenever you're ready.
Okay, so this is Parachute Seeds by Swan Song. Early autumn has begun to color the forest floor as larch trees slowly fade their needles of gold and the aspens yellow and the maples fade to bright orange. Along the forest floor, a tall dandelion bends with half its pappus flown away, while a few silken parachutes remain on the bulb. Nearby, a sole seed has landed near a wet puddle, lodged between two small stones lying on its side. A slight breath of wind moves the silken stalks, but the seed cannot break free. In a nearby huckleberry bush, a jay is plucking seeds with the lively obsidian eyes. With one eye beholded, Neves inquisitively tilts its head as its purple cape bends to one side before it launches into a maze of pine and larch. My eyes return to the little parachute seed, and I wonder for a moment if I can find any more of these little seeds spread in their silk across the meadow. Nearby, a fog rumbles out of a half crook, and I walk slowly to a small pond with cattails and shallow black water, little parachute seeds floating in the murky stillness. End poem.
Great reading. Great reading, Gray. Pam, you want to take us off on this one?
Yeah, as always, Swan Song does just a brilliant job of writing about nature. And I like that he focuses not so much on the trees, but on the seeds. And when he says parachute seeds, I can picture, like, I don't know what tree they come from, but the ones that have almost like wings where when they fall, they spin in circles, you know. And I like that the main focus of this is that autumn is a time of seeds dropping so that there will be future generations, trees and plants. So a wonderful observational poem. I really like, nearby a soul seed has landed near a wet puddle lodged between two small stones lying on its side. A slight breath of wind moves the silken stalks, but the seed cannot break free. And then my eyes return to the little parachute seed, and I wonder for a moment if I can find any more of those little seeds spread in their silk across the meadow. There's such a wonderful sense of hope within those delicately woven into those lines. So beautifully written and very well done.
Absolutely. And Naomi, how about you, hon?
Yeah, me too. It brought me the sensation of hope, you know, hope of new regrowth, you know, and that those seeds. And, you know, I this is a beautiful write, like you know, Jeff can write them, you know, so beautifully. But You know, his attention to detail is always what impresses me. You know, the larch trees slowly fade, their needles of glow, the aspen yellow and maples fade to bright orange. And, you know, he mentions a tall dandelion dens, and then, you know, and then the seeds, you know. But, you know, always, you know, with such minute detail, you like the frog that rumbles and the cattails, and, you know, all the way through, just beautiful, beautiful imagery. It brings up emotions too inside the reader, you know. Such lovely writing. So bravo here, Swan Song. You know, what a beautiful addition to this night of beautiful poetry here.
Amen. Amen. And Gray, how about you?
Yeah, you know, I thought it was endearing and enchanting, thoroughly engaging throughout with all the imagery and details to the poem. So beautifully written.
Mm-hmm. I have to agree with all of you. It was a wonderful, wonderful write. But Swan Song is so tuned into nature with his work, and always has been. As long as from the first time I read him, I was just taken back by how well he penned that nature and the sights that he saw, whether he was hunting or fishing, I don't recall, or maybe he was just hiking. But I remember it had something, it just had an element of wonder to it. I thought his lead into this was great. You know, early autumn has begun, began to color the forest floor as large trees slowly fade their needles of gold and the aspens yellow and maples fade to bright orange. Along with the forest floor, a tall dandelion bends with half its pappus flown away, while a few silken parachutes remain on the bulb. I just think that, you know, I mean, to look at a dandelion, you know, and really pull so much from it, I think was just beautiful. And, yeah, so great job, and thank you so much, Swan Song. Fabulous, right? Okay, yep. Oh, no, wrong way, Jane, wrong way. Okay. Let me come back over here. Pam, I have the next. No, I don't. I have something else for you right now. I do believe. Holy mackerel. Hang on a second. I'm losing my little marbles. People are saying losing. She lost them a long time ago. Okay. Pam, I'm going to give you this next one to read. This is by Garden Delight.
Here. Fall Surprise by Garden Delight. A fiery sky becomes autumn's signature. Skeletal trees huddle together in a chilly wind, bare-kneed knocking one another, having shed their crimson garments earthward. Hunters' sounds have ceased for today, the baying of their dogs silenced long before now. Footsteps approach. I watch as a guy with his dog comes into view, recognizing him from town. Two cardinals chirp regarding which branch to sleep on. A growing silence settles itself around the lake. As the fellow looks up and spots me, startled, he quickly recovers. Coming closer, he introduces himself. We talk, meet for a coffee on Main Street. We're an item now, frequently walking our lakeside, looking forward to spring. I'm going to miss the starkness of winter's elms and red birds who seem to have relocated. I cannot forget fall. It's where I met my first love. End poem.
Awesome read, Pam. Awesome read. Naomi, do you want to start us off?
Yeah, I love that. Was a, yeah, awesome read, Pam. And, you know, this was just an enchanting tale. you know, and so just wonderful how she started off. She introduced us, you know, to the autumn. She set the scene so beautifully. You know, it's so true, you know, the hunter sounds have ceased for today. You know, in autumn is when, you know, the hunters go out and hunting season. And, you know, the way she introduces us to the guy with his dog and, you know, puts in the scenery there, two cardinals chirp regarding which branch to sleep on. And slowly, you know, she introduces him. It's just so well thought out, so well written. It's real, you know. It's so simple, but it's so touching in a way, in its simplicity, I find. And it's just so beautifully written. I just love, we're an item now, frequently walking our lakeside. And, you know, I cannot forget fall. It's where I met my first love. You know, just a beautiful piece by Garden Delights here.
Absolutely. And Gray, how about you?
Yeah, you know, I thought it was wonderful. You know, descriptive and engaging throughout. You know, I like the subject of her finding her first love in the fall, so that becomes her season, which is a beautiful thing. Beautiful read, Pam.
I have to agree totally with the two of you. Pam, how about you?
Yeah, this is amazing. It's got brilliant imagery. It's a heartfelt write on finding love in autumn. And I like how it tells that story. I really like the imagery in the first two stanzas, you know, bare knees knocking one another, having shed their crimson garments earthward. I also like the stanza that mentions two cardinals chirp regarding which branch to sleep on. This poem actually made me think my son went hunting the other day and didn't get a deer, but at one point he was telling me a bird sat on the end of his gun and was seeming all nice and comfy and calm, and then suddenly looked back, realized my son was there watching him at the other end of the gun, and just quickly said, if a little bird could look, had looked surprised, it would have been in that moment.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I thought this was a wonderful write and very well done.
That was a great little story. I like that. Can you just imagine how surprised that bird was? Yeah, right. Garden Delight, this is a beautiful write. Excellent imagery and a great story told. I love the addition of the romance found at the end. I thought that was just a lovely, it was like a treat at the end of the whole poem, which was already a treat, you know, how it works. But, you know, we're an item now. That's where I picked up, frequently walking our lakeside. Looking forward to spring. We're going to miss this darkness of winter's elms and the red birds who seem to have relocated. I cannot forget fall. It's where I met my first love. I thought that was just a wonderful ending to this. I mean, not that the beginning was awful either, you know, but I thought that really kind of warmed your heart a little bit at the very end, and I thought that was great. So wonderful job, and thank you for sharing with us, Garden Delight. Yeah. Oh, I don't know where I'm going.
Oh, they are 25s. Yeah, you said they were 25s. That's why.
Okay. I'm hearing things. I'm hearing people talking. Okay, Pam, the next one I'm going to put up has an audio. And this is
okie dokie.
There we go. Seasons of Rekindled Dreams by Hall of Mindfulness.
Season of Rekindled Dreams. The lemon drop sun hangs in the November sky. No disappointments at slipping from its summer heights, simply happy to put in an appearance, dazzling her as she steps into the embrace of her arboreal surround. Aubergine-veined russet leaves carpet the way, softening each footfall, leading her further into the heart of a woodland glowing with the promise seasonal change can bring. Lost in the self-centered reverie for so long, she rejoices now in the everyday, the sound of the breeze rustling leaves, the sight of a bird unfurling its wings. Inspired, she smiles, arms outstretched, open to the day's gifts, spinning and twirling like the girl of yesteryear. Carefree in this moment of simply living, emerged from her cult of shouldism, a butterfly from its cocoon no longer contracted, wound tight, she once again dares to dream. Dreams that didn't wither and die, simply lay dormant like bulbs in the ground awaiting spring, holding out for fertilizers of self-belief and authenticity, the ingredients behind many a life fulfilled. Sinking into her layers, old and new, grateful for the comfort and warmth they offer, she turns and makes for home, alive to every sight and sound, hand in hand with rekindled dreams. End of poem. Sam Hall, Hall of Mindfulness.
What a beautiful piece. Naomi, you want to start us off?
Oh, yeah, what a beautiful piece indeed. You know, I just love, you know, from the first sentence, the lemon drop sun hangs in the November sky. You know, that's just beautiful. But, you know, what's most amazing is you know, she introduces us to this character, this girl, you know, that seems to refine her love of life, she sheds all her inhibitions, and you know she dares to dream again, and she just embraces everything around her, you know, dancing and twirling and taking all the in the, you know, all the simplicity of nature and all that it can offer her, and you know, alive, like she says in the last, you know, in the last sentence there, the last line, alive to every sight and sound, hand in hand with rekindled dreams. I thought this was just you know, another amazing, unique take on how that prompt and autumn can inspire a poet here, you know, in a unique way. So just amazing right here.
Absolutely. I have to agree with that completely. And Gray, how about you?
Yeah, she did a beautiful read on her SoundCloud. And the poem is, you know, it's very striking in its you know, revealing of oneself in nature, you know, finding oneself. And I thought that was quite beautiful. Beautiful sentiment.
Absolutely. I thought this was, as you said, Naomi, I have to agree 100%. That first line, the lemon drop sun hangs in the November sky. No disappointment is slipping from its summer heights. Simply happy to put in an appearance, dazzling her as she steps up into the embrace of her arboreal surround. That was just an awesome intro stanza there. Definitely captures right then and there. And then she goes into the aubergine-veined russet leaves carpet the way. So again, you know, we're adding in the colors of autumn there. But then she gets into something a little bit different. And I thought that was pretty wonderful. I have to say, I thought she captured the beauty of autumn in a wonderful way. I thought carefree in this moment of simply living, emerged from her cult of shouldisms, a butterfly from its cocoon, no longer contracted, wound tight, she once again dares to dream. Dreams that didn't wither and die, simply lay dormant like bulbs in the ground, awaiting spring, holding out for fertilizers of self-belief and authenticity, the ingredients behind many a life fulfilled. They were awesome because, you know, here you are, you know, in fall, you know, you have all the bulbs down under the ground, you know, and they are, they're all just waiting to come back in spring, but they need that cold, they need that rest, and I thought it was excellent. So very, very well done, Call of Mindfulness. And Pam, you want to comment? And then she's still.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, this is wonderful. I really like how deep she got into the metaphor of autumn and the idea of those sleeping dreams, the dormant bulbs and the sleeping dreams, dreams that didn't wither and die, simply lay dormant like bulbs in the ground awaiting spring, holding out for fertilizers of self-belief and authenticity. I like that how she sees autumn as the idea of that there are dreams that have yet to be awakened. I also, too, liked her use of colors like lemon drop and aubergine. Aubergine, the veined russet leaves carpet the way, softening each footfall, leading her further into the heart of a woodland. Beautiful imagery, wonderful right on a journey taken, and very well done.
Yeah, great comment, Pam. Great comment. Okay, well, that was a wonderful piece as well. So many of them tonight. I'm enjoying each and every one of them. The next piece I'm going to put up is by Faziana, and I'm going to give that a whirl because, again, it's my size, just my size. Sorry, I can't help it. I'm dead right. It's called Stepping Field by Faziana. The path to the horizon, uneven ivory stones, stepping across a wildscape, following earth's bones. Gold-tipped greenery drape, clouds plump as they ripen. End poem. What a neat little brevity that is. And Pam, I'm going to have you start us out on this one.
Yeah, this is a delightful brevity. All the way through, it has a wonderful flow to it. It's really difficult to separate any lines. But I will have to say that my two favorite lines for their imagery and metaphor were following Earth's bones. I love how she sees the rocks and the stones as the bones of the earth. And then clouds plump as they ripen, especially that end line. I had never even thought of the idea of describing clouds filling with water as plumping as they ripen. Wonderful imagery and very well done.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I agree with you 100%. Naomi, how about you?
Yeah, well, Pam picked up the two lines that really, really spoke to me too. You know, I thought that was just amazing. Earth's bones. You know, I just paused at that. That's just amazing. And, yeah, the idea of clouds plumping up, you know, with rain and with the water before they rain, you know, as ripening. That's just, you know, so, so clever. But, you know, this whole piece, I mean, there's not one word wasted in here. It's just, you know, it comes all together in just a fabulous, fabulous little brevity here. Just an amazing, amazing Faziana. Bravo.
Absolutely. Great comments, guys. And Gray, how about you?
Yeah, you did a beautiful read on that, Pam. And I like the poem, you know, it's short, but it's sweet. You know, it really captures the essence of the picture as well. And I thought it was just wonderful. Beautifully done.
I did do a beautiful read on that. I even managed to make myself sound like Jean.
Well, Pam, I was a little old. I didn't have to do that. Oh, my God.
Sorry, Bill.
No, don't be sorry. things happen. I just roll with it. I have to say, you know, I said I can't disagree with anybody, and all I want to do is agree with everybody. You know, I thought it was an excellent brevity and a great job, and I would grab a couple of lines, but I kind of like them all. I think that they, you know, plucking any one would be silly to make, because it's like, yeah, well, you know, I like the ivory stones and, you know, the earth's bones and the greenery drape and, you know, the clouds line. I don't know. I wouldn't know how to pick one, but I think it was just an excellent piece. And thank you, Ephesiana, for writing for us. Great job. Si, senor. Oh, come on. Next, I'm going to put up a piece by Weaver of Dreams. And, Pam, I have an audio for this one.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
You ready?
I'm ready when you are.
We met secretly inside the gazebo that autumn. The fiery leaves looked as vibrant as our desire. You took me to the edge of reason, and stilled. I was moved by your ardent, tender embrace. As I yielded, doubts melted, passion burned bright, as did an all-consuming fire, transcending thought. Your arms became my world, your body, all of me. We had to part, as winter followed autumn's spark. We floundered beneath society's frosty, censorious gaze. Our paths should never entwine, as did our hearts. Me, lowly, you born so high above me. Never mind.
What a lovely brevity this one was. Naomi, you want to start us off?
Oh yeah, such a, you know, such an awesome tale told in so few lines. You know, this is a whole story. We have a whole story here, you know, and plus with the scenery in the background to complement it all, you know, just amazing. Again, you know, I'm just so amazed on how this beautiful art here can inspire the poets in such different paths, you know. So this is an amazing story told by Kate here, and you know, wonderful read also, and you know, just beautifully written. So bravo, Kate.
Amen. Gray, how about you?
Yeah, you know, I love her reading voice. You know, it's so unique. And the poem itself is definitely wonderful. You know, I like the romanticism in it, even though it is a little sideways at the end. You know, where she says, our paths should never entwine, as did our hearts. Me lowly, you born so high above me. Never mind. You know, that's kind of tragic. But the rest of the poem is quite beautiful and definitely well written. And I liked it a lot, so beautifully done.
Absolutely. And Pam, how about you?
Yeah, this is a wonderfully written story poem. I like how she brings the imagery of autumn in and tells a story of a love that shouldn't have happened because they were of two different parts of society, her from the lower part, him from the higher, you know, rich, poor, and even like as the end, as Gray says, it takes that slightly different tone. We flounder beneath society's frosty, censorious gaze. It's almost like their love is the fire of autumn, and then the society and the way society disapproves of their romance is the coming of winter. I also really like in the beginning, we met secretly inside the gazebo that autumn, the fiery leaves looked as vibrant as our desire. You know, I have to say personally,
I think there just are not enough gazebos around anymore. You know?
I agree.
Excellent writing, very well done.
Yeah, I absolutely agree all the way through. And you know, Pam, it's so funny because I was going to say the same thing you did about the ending, that last line where we moved from autumn into winter in that line there. Those last two lines just took the whole season and turned it right into the next. And I thought it was clever and it was really well done. So I enjoyed that. So thank you so much for sharing with us, Kate. And I hope you got some rest. Okay. So now, let me see what I'm doing next. Okay. How am I going to do? Okay, Gray, I have one for you to read. I know I'm like bouncing around a little bit, but it is up high on that list. So here we go. And whenever you're ready.
Okay, thank you. Go Gorgeously by Robert J. Tice. Adorn the ruined and the lost with peace and mercy, day by night. Advance in bliss, great radiance, repressing nothing of your light. Array the vacant with much grace, lend harmony to what must sing. Embellish moments with insights, derive delight from daily things. Breathe eloquence into the void, so even silence starts to sigh. Run lovingly, so stunningly, such beauty makes the reaper cry. And poem.
Great read, Gray. Great read. Pam, you want to start us off?
Absolutely. I always enjoy and appreciate Robert Tice's poetry. This is a beautifully written couplet. And I like that, you know, they're not rhyming couplets, and yet they have a certain flow to them that you would see in rhyming poetry. I really like how this is another one that speaks on the life and beauty that is all part of autumn. I really like especially array the vacant with such much grace, lend harmony to what must sing, and run lovingly, so stunningly, such beauty makes the reaper cry. You know, the idea of the end of a life, the end of a season that just touches the heart. Beautifully written and very well done.
Mm-hmm. Nice comment, Pam. And Naomi, how about you?
Oh, yeah, this was beautifully very captivating. Like I was just, you know, like kind of moving to the flow there. And that was a wonderful, wonderful read there, by the way, Gray. And, you know, yeah, I just loved, I was completely captivated by the, you know, the flow, the rhythm, the flow. I found it just enchanting. And I was drawn to that last couplet there. Run lovingly, so stunningly, such beauty makes the reaper cry. You know, it brings in everything into that last couplet there. What a beautiful finale to this wonderfully written poem. So bravo, Robert. Great job here.
Nice comment. And Greg, how about you, hon?
Yeah, you know, it was a pleasure to read this. It had an excellent flow to it, and I thought the imagery and the sentiment was quite striking and engaging and dear. So just a beautiful poem.
Absolutely. I have to agree again. You know, it was a wonderful take on autumn, and I thought it was beautifully penned as well. But I loved his use of the couplets. I thought the use of couplets was a nice touch throughout the piece. And, very nice work. Very nice work. I don't think that I've ever seen Robert's poetry before, or if I have, it's been a while, because I don't recognize him. But it is a wonderful piece, and yes. So thank you so much for sharing. It's another wonderful addition to the show tonight. So much enjoyed. Absolutely. Okay, Pam, I'm going to put the next one up for you, and this is by Crystal Hope. Oh, maybe I will. Maybe. No, that's not.
All right. Right.
All I have to do is go grab it again, because I lost it somewhere in my travels. You know, I go so far when we do these shows. I travel everywhere. So whenever you're ready, hon. Oh, God.
All right. Crimson Colors Over Sunlit Skies by C. Hope. Broken branches bending to the lost, leaves raking up crimson colors. Streams wash up haystack straw like rippling pages of a storybook cover. Muddy benches warm from sunlight, bubbling like champagne over golden lakes. Auburn boots sweep swirling stems, crunching like crumbles of cornflakes. Chocolate hues paint with split twigs, spilling out like vanilla almond milk. Scarlet gloves, blanket bulging pockets, button with cream cashmere and silk. Morning dew glistens like honeysuckle, steaming like teapot of chamomile tea. Evening sparks sunset onto maple leaves, carving timbers in dogwood trees. And poem.
Beautiful read, Pam. Beautiful read. Naomi, how about you? You want to start us off?
Oh, there's so many lines in here that, you know, metaphors and imagery that I really, really like. You know, steams wash up straw like rippling pages of a storybook cover. I just love that. And then auburn boots sweep swirling stems, crunching like crumbles of cornflakes. You know, that was a really neat one. And then scarlet gloves, blankets, bulging pockets, button with cream, cashmere, and silk. Now, the imagery in here and the wording and the vocabulary chosen and, you know, the adjectives and the imagery is just beautiful. So, you know, wow, what a an amazing, amazing write here.
Absolutely. And Gray, how about you? Uh-oh. You're on mute, Gray.
I am, yeah. But, no, I liked it a lot. You know, it's definitely descriptive and engaging, full of powerful alliteration and metaphor, just beautifully created.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Great comment. Pam, how about you?
Yeah, this has just absolutely wonderful imagery, but it's a treat for all the senses. You know, she brings in the color, the scent, the taste, chocolate hues paint with split twigs spilling out like vanilla almond milk, scarlet gloves, blanket bulging pockets, button with cream, cashmere, and silk. Just, I really like that line. I also like the mention of the steaming, the morning dew glistens like honeysuckle steaming like a teapot of chamomile tea. Just a wonderful descriptive imagery that warms the soul and is very well done.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I thought that this was a fabulous piece. Stunning imagery, and I loved how she incorporated something for all of the senses. You know, the sound of the cornflakes and, you know, just everything, the chamomile tea, you know, just, it was just beautiful. And I really thought that she, it was just fabulous and a great addition for tonight's show. all the way through. And Chris, I thank you so much for sharing with us. Wonderful, wonderful piece and so well written. Gosh, I could pick any stanza. But chocolate hues paint with split twigs. Hang on, I gotta make it a little larger. Chocolate hues paint with split twigs, spilling out like vanilla almond milk. Scarlet gloves, blanket bulging pockets, buttoned with cream cashmere and silk. Really, it's wonderful imagery everywhere. Just wonderful. And each one is just as good. So I think it's a very stunning piece. So thank you for sharing. Now, I have a poem here. I don't see Lou, so I doubt she's calling. Gray, did you call in to read her piece, or did you call in to hang out with us because you just love us so much?
Yeah, both.
Both? Oh, okay, that's a good answer. I guess that is true. And then sometimes you are the designated reader, so I want to make sure I ask. Okay, so I want to put that up for you, and whenever you're ready.
Okay, so this is called Falling Foliage of Autumn's Earthly Angels. Shapes of darkness, color droplets of auburn, stained tears, dropping, falling in twirled winds, revealing the silence of my suffocating silken robe, revealing bed, breathless, soundless, stippled outcries, shredding summer's heat in emerald leaves, these wooden limbs that drape, bend, whispering to wood nymphs, and fold autumn's fiery gemstones, laying against her aged trunk as golden tangerine, dark ruby shapes, transplanting my sighs, forlorn love still lingers, transporting through burned, bladed petals, embers of lush Indian summers, cuddling, in fallen hills of morn, mist, moist, listening, silent downpour, embraced in jeweled blankets, untying saccharine unsugar, honeyed promise, diminishing struggles, painting shaded ruins, belief fades, mellow showers dangle on downcast lashes, firebush reflects, awakened mirror onyx spheres, insights arise in ebony caramel eyes, laughter slowly bubbles in nature's opium seduction, a small smile as I glimpse hidden nymphs taking my hand, giggling in strolling paths of obsidian, garnet dancing carpets, smelling winged loose stripe blossoming, ironweed god's ruse, goldenrod, weaving floral blue-eyed grasses, black-eyed sweet Susans, fallen kissed leaves as eyes devour brilliant fall tints of our ancient home. Birds sing cheery incantations, healing a sore throbbing heart, fluttering in sunbeam patterns. Farewell to lost tender seasons, blowing leaves in a soft waltzing dance, floral sway in a soothing symphony. We prepare dresses of fallen, soft, ornate, bladed leaflets as butterflies hang as lavish pendants, spraying mossy trails, bees murmur celestial melodies. End poem.
Nice read, Gray. Nice read. Pam, you want to start us off?
Oh, absolutely. Wonderful read there, Gray. This is stunning. It's got brilliant imagery and metaphors throughout. I like how it speaks on the sensuality of autumn. It has a romantic feel to it. It has a nostalgic feel to it. There's also within it a wonderful sense of movement you know, with between the oftentimes, you know, the wind blowing the trees and the leaves falling, is an important part of the identity of autumn. I really like whispering to wood nymphs and folding autumn's fairy gemstones laying against her aged trunk as golden tangerine dark ruby shapes, transplanting my sighs, forlorn love still lingers, transporting through burning bladed petals, embers of lush Indian summers cuddling. You know, just wonderful imagery throughout, but those stanzas and the idea of memories and that we hold on to really just grabbed a hold of my heart. So beautifully written and very well done.
Great comment, Pam. And Naomi, how about you?
Oh, this is such an elegant piece. It's just, you know, it dances on the page. It's so beautifully written. You know, I just love, you know, all through, but, you know, at the near the end there, you know, the leaves in a soft waltzing dance, floral sway in a soothing symphony we prepare, dresses of fallen soft ornate bladed leaflets as butterflies hang as lavish pendants, you know, and then the straying mossy trails and the bees murmur celestial melodies. You know, it's just like a dance and a song here, you know, a tribute, a great tribute to this, all the sensuality that is autumn, you know. And so well written by Luyu here. Bravo, bravo.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And Gray, how about you?
I liked it. You know, I could hear her reading it as I read it. You know, her words speak so loudly of her that you can't help get lost in it. And the beauty that's written in here is just fantastic. And I like the sensuality of fall as well. You know, it's not something that normally we think of, but she captured that quite beautifully. So well done.
Nice comments, everybody. Absolutely. I think that Lou did a beautiful job with this. The despair that she puts into the poem, and I took that. That's one of her words she put down the bottom. The despair that she read into the piece, or wrote into the piece, was such a parallel to the sadness of autumn. Because as beautiful as autumn is, you know, we all hate to see summer go. And, you know, winter comes in and kind of takes over and you know, holds everything at bay until it's darn good and ready to let go again in spring. But I think that there was, she just ran a wonderful parallel between the two. And, it was beautiful. Just really, really a beautiful write. And thank you, Lou, for writing for us tonight. That was excellent. Now, that was the last piece on the board. Gray, you did not bring a piece, I take it? Am I here?
You are here. I think Gray is on mute.
You are. And I was talking to you, but I grabbed the piece here.
Did you? Okay, let me I don't see.
Okay. So this is called Falls Rising by Gray Eyes Smith. Falls rising beyond sight over a mystic plain under a moonlit sky. Quietly, the forest listens. Loudly, ancient waters speak. End poem.
Oh, beautiful. Great. They better be gray. Okay, Pam, I'm going to let you kick this one off. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. This is a brilliant brevity. Wonderful read, Gray. I love how you play with the first two words, falls rising, and you have the word rising going up. And I like how there's a juxtaposition in that idea, how you oftentimes think of the falling of the leaves during autumn, but there is also, there's a rising of majesty. There's a rising of a transition and new life. beautiful lines all the way through. And I also really like the imagery of over a mystic plane. The idea of the mysticism within a wide open space that just captures your attention. So beautifully written and very well done.
Thank you very much, Pam.
Mm-hmm. And Naomi, how about you?
Yeah, well, you know, bravo on the formatting. You know, that falls and rising, so neatly fit together there. But, you know, the falls and the rising, you know, the over the plain and then the under the moonlit sky. And then, you know, there's a falling and a rising in the sound too. They quietly, the forest listens, and loudly ancient water speaks. So, you know, there's something, and the mystic plane, there's something really spiritual about this whole piece too that surrounds it. Just brilliantly, you know, so witty and so cleverly written piece here, Gray. So bravo.
Thank you, Naomi. I appreciate it.
Gray, I think this is an outstanding brevity. You know, first of all, I like the falls rising. I thought that was clever, as Pam said. Over a mystic plane, under a moonlit sky, quietly the forest listens, gladly ancient waters speak. I think there really is a certain mysticism about this that carries through very well when you read it. It has that feeling to it of something mystical, and I think it was well expressed, most definitely. So I have to say that was a wonderful work piece, and yeah.
Thank you, Bill.
I'm looking to see if you just wrote it today, but yeah, it's timeless, absolutely a timeless piece, and it fits well. So nice work, and thank you for sharing with us.
Absolutely, Yvette.
Yeah, and I appreciate you calling in tonight. I know you haven't been feeling great. Well, ladies, we cleared the board. Yeah.
Awesome.
Absolutely.
Great show tonight, Jean.
Only as good as the people who wrote for it. It was a wonderful set of prompts, Pam. You grabbed some great quotes. That's the word I want. Jeez. And you know, what's not to love about the imagery from Autumn? I mean, you do any kind of research for images, and God, you know, they're just overwhelmingly beautiful. So I want to thank every poet that wrote for us tonight and shared in the contest and allowed us to read their work. This is not going to be an easy one to judge, that's for sure. So Pam, I'm calling in for that pinch hit at the end there for that final decision making. But I think it was a wonderful show. It was a lot of fun to have everyone here. Yeah, it went smooth, you know, which is always nice. And Gray, I am glad you stopped in because that was wonderful. Great timing on that to help us out with the fellow reads and, you know, give us some good comments.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Anyway, I mean, I don't know. Let's see. What's happening after the show tonight? We have no show tomorrow. Keeping It Brief is on hold until next week. Right, Naomi?
Yeah, I have appointments. Yeah.
And we're actually going to move Keeping It Brief to every other Tuesday. Well, every other
mm-hmm.
Wednesday. So
yeah.
Everyone is aware. And tomorrow we have who's doing tomorrow night's show?
I am.
Gray.
Okay. Yeah.
What's that happening, Gray? Tell me about it since you're here.
Yeah, so Lee Wildove and myself ran a contest, and it was on a quote, quoting, and yet to wine, to opium even, I prefer the elixir of your lips on which love flaunts itself, by Charles Baudelaire.
Ah, very nice. Very nice. Yeah, you can get some good quotes from Baudelaire. he could be very bad, but I like him. And so that's wonderful. That's wonderful. And I hope everyone will join us for that show. And then we have the Headliners. No, Headliners Ball is canceled for tomorrow night. Correct, Pam?
Correct.
Okay. So, and then Thursday, we have Richard Weissman. And in our Craft and Sewing Art, we'll be doing our Thanksgiving show. And I think he might have a few spaces left for any rights if anyone's interested. And, yeah. And that'll be followed by Break On Through with Pam Ray. And, Pam, what's your thing for Thursday?
I am running a contest with the Art of Amahi Mori, which is just absolutely stunning artwork combining the female form and nature. And I highly recommend checking it out. I could use a few more rights if anybody's inspired.
Very cool. Very cool. And then Friday, well, you know, it's open poetry. I'm pretty easy like that. And, yeah, so I want to thank all of you, and it's 12:02. Much love, everybody. Have a great night.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.